Welcome to our expanded audio coverage of the 33rd Annual Sun and Fun Fly-In 2007 in Lakeland, Florida. Brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Learn more at bose.com/headset and by Oregon Aero Upgrade Kits, available now at Oregon Aero. On location at Sun and Fun 2007 in Lakeland, Florida, AvWeb's Editor-in-Chief Chad Troutvetter sat down with Cessna Chairman, President, and CEO Jack Pelton. While the Wichita manufacturer is celebrating its 80th anniversary this year, it is clearly focused on the future. In fact, Cessna brought its light sport and next-generation piston concept airplanes to the Lakeland, Florida Air Show.
This year, we at Sun and Fun brought both the light sport aircraft concept airplane, which we call our Cessna Sport Aircraft, and our next-generation piston airplane. Now, it's been 9 months since we unveiled, these at Oshkosh in 2006. And on the light sport aircraft at Oshkosh, we did some pretty extensive surveying of customers and collected that data to get feedback as to what did they think the appropriate attributes for that airplane would be. So we've collected that and analyzed it. At the same time, we're flying the proof of concept airplane to understand all of the flight characteristics that are necessary to put it into production. And we're very happy with where we are today on the airplane. We're very happy with the feedback that we received because there seems to be a good correlation between what customers are telling us they want and what we've created as an initial concept airplane. Now, we are incorporating some changes into the ergonomics of the airplane based on customer feedback, ease of getting in and out of the airplane, what the stick geometry should be, and we are continuing to evaluate avionics systems and power plants for the airplane. But we're getting very, very close to decision timing on actually formally announcing that airplane. So it's gone, I would say, per plan. It's going very, very well. The customer receptivity of it's been tremendous. And it's really from two specific and distinct different segments. One from the individuals who would like to now see an aircraft as being affordable and something that an individual could buy or maybe a couple friends could buy and actually do some pretty practical flying because the speeds on it are at 115 to 120 knots per the ATSM standard. You could actually get in it and go somewhere. So that's attracted some people. But the biggest basis and feedback we've gotten is from flight training. And we really have gone out to our Cessna pilot centers and asked a lot of questions about what's important to them in the flight training regime because we believe from a price point and from what they will be able to rent this airplane from, it will hopefully increase the new pilot starts and bring people into aviation and get them the hook in them with a light sport concept certificate, but most importantly, take them right through their private pilot training and migrate them into a Cessna Skyhawk for their instrument training. So that segment, we believe, will probably be the largest initially.
Pelton believes his company's light sport airplane will address a real market need.
We don't think that population is as big as the potential of new start pilots. We think for that other generational issue, we have our next generation piston airplane concept here also. And that really is the airplane for the individual who's a more accomplished pilot or is starting maybe at a better socioeconomic position than the individual getting into the light sport who can have a very, very good performing, high value airplane that competes well with the existing competitors today, but has all the features that Cessna's known for. The low stall speeds, the very large volume cabins, good range, good payload capability, and very easy to fly. And that airplane's also here, which at Oshkosh, we didn't put it on display. We did just the flyby. But we did show the cabin mock-up at AOPA. Customer reception and feedback for that, again, has been, would you hurry up and get it to market? We want to buy it now. A lot of our existing customers would love to upgrade into the NGP.
Cessna's next generation piston, or NGP, is intended to eventually be a family of airplanes, though the first iteration won't supersede any existing products.
Right now, we're positioning it as being a new family of airplanes, and this will be the first of multiple family members. It's hard to characterize it as a direct replacement to the existing airplanes because they have different features and different capabilities than this first offering. The first offering is going to be 4 to 5 passenger, good payload capability, good comfort higher level of technology, both in engine and avionics, and speeds that are better than any of our existing products. When we introduce it, we'll continue to build the existing family of airplanes simultaneous, and then eventually migrate into a family of airplanes.
We'll be right back on location at Sun and Fun 2007 with Cessna's Jack Pelton. But we want you to know that today's coverage is brought to you by Oregon Aero, now offering the complete solution to painful, noisy aviation headsets with its new headset upgrade kits. Oregon Aero upgrade kits eliminate pain and pressure, improve intelligibility, and keep head and ears cool and dry. And by the Bose Aviation Headset 10, voted number one for the sixth consecutive year in Professional Pilots 2006 Headset Preference Survey. Enjoy full spectrum noise reduction, clear audio, and comfortable around the ear fit. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Now back to our interview with Cessna's Jack Pelton on location at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. The Wichita-based aircraft manufacturer also has plans to expand its Citation business jet line too.
Yeah, when you look at Cessna, we've been in the jet side of the business. We've been focused on the light and midsize jets, and we made the investments in 2002 up to the completion this year of the Mustang, completion from an investment and bringing it into full-scale production, which opened up a market below those airplanes. Now we're looking at how do we open up a market above the existing Citation 10 and Sovereign offering. And we came up with a concept at NBAA, which we call our large cabin concept. Again, we introduced it with the intent of getting customer feedback, and we had, similar to most of our other product offerings, an overwhelming response with people actually putting deposits down to hold positions, which, again, gave us a pretty good feeling that we're on the right track from what are the attributes of that airplane need to be. This year, we've been focused on getting to a position of being able to take it to our board of directors to get the authorization to actually take orders from the airplane. We're going to have that completed by the end of the year. It's a big investment for Cessna. I mean, there's no question moving up market that it's a significant investment, and we're hoping that we can show that with that big investment, we're going to minimize the risk and have it be a huge success.
According to Pelton, the Citation Mustang Very Light Jet has exceeded expectations.
The Mustang has been, I think it exceeded all of our expectations from one when we first launched in 2002, the initial order book that we got on it was phenomenal, but we were curious as to how it would continue to hold, and it has, and it's continued to gain popularity. The airplane itself also, I think, exceeded our expectations in what the airplane can do from a performance perspective, and not just a pure book numbers on payload range and speeds, but really the integration of the pilot into the airplane and the ease of operation. You hate to hang your hat on any one journalist's write-up on it, but certainly Mac McClellan's most recent article in Flying Magazine was very telling in how easy the airplane is to fly and how it will be just a natural for people coming up in their flying careers to move into a Mustang comfortably as a single pilot, operate it safely, and be able to have great performance attributes that are not offered out there today. So we're very, very pleased. The program itself has moved out of the, out of the glamour stage of like the excitement of announcing it and certifying it and developing it and everybody taking their bows for getting that done. And now we're into the full-scale production. And our production line is chocked full. We've got Ship 37 is already in production. Our planned deliveries for this year will be 40 Mustangs, which we think is prudent. I mean, we aren't stretching ourselves in trying to meet unrealistic production demands. We delivered our second Mustang. I think it was second was last Friday. The next one delivers on the 23rd of April, and we'll just continue to keep. We'll deliver 10 in the second quarter. So it's a busy time for us moving into real full-scale production, getting them into our customers' hands, and supporting them the way Cessna's always supported airplanes 24/7 around the world.
Is a Mustang II in Cessna's future?
The great part of the Cessna history and tradition is that we are a product development and certification machine. And we have an ongoing investment on a yearly basis of our pretty high percentage of our revenues compared to peer industries in R&D. So we're constantly looking at airplanes from light sport up to supersonic aircraft in our advanced design. And I think when you address the niche between the Mustang and the CJ, a lot of that will have to be based on what happens with technology. You know, the Mustang really came about because the avionics technology came down with more features at a much more attractive price than what was being offered, and the engine technology lent itself to saying, okay, now we're ready, we can marry those to a to an airframe. And I think when you look in between, today we don't see yet what that offering would be between a CJ and a Mustang, but we're convinced that in the coming years that something will emerge that will allow us to field something in that price point.
There's also a product gap at Cessna between the NGP and the Mustang.
We've studied that for a long time, and we refer to that as the Cessna gap airplane as to what goes in between. And actually, the Mustang came about as a result of we kept thinking that was the next area we were going to move, but with the way the technology emerged, and again, we're dependent on a lot of supplier technology, it made the Mustang the next viable airplane on a timeline for us to, and we keep looking at what makes sense in that area. And part of the problem is that a lot of the technology and a lot of the cost doesn't scale. So when you look at engines and avionics, there's not a step function change you can do moving down from a Mustang and still have the functionality that you need. And so we're not, we don't feel comfortable yet that there is a product in that area, but we, you know, we'll continue to look at it and analyze it. And I'm getting more and more comfortable that with what I'm seeing in the Mustang that maybe there'll be a shift where people will actually move to a Mustang to do multi-engine training. You know, maybe it will be cost-effective enough to where and efficient enough that we'll just have to take that leap and quit driving people through, you know, the painful process of a very old light twin that that really doesn't serve a purpose when you move direct to the Mustang because you're in obsoleted avionics and obsoleted engine technology.
Pelton said he sees the writing on the wall that AVGAS has a limited future.
Being that we don't develop engines ourselves, you know, we're in a position where we have to be the champions to convince the engine manufacturers they need to put their investment dollars into alternate fuels. And we aren't even suggesting or dictating the direction of what alternate fuels, but we think long term that we have to get off we have to get to a position where if AVGAS as we know it today goes away, that we can still sustain our industry. And that's going to be dependent on what do our engine manufacturers do and invest in. Right now, probably the easiest path for engine manufacturers would be to move into heavy fuels, whether it be Jet A or auto diesel as we know it today. And that seems to make a lot of sense to us as a manufacturer. Looking even further down the road, I'm getting more and more concerned personally on, especially, you know, the growing trend internationally, more so than domestic U.S., is that we're going to have to look at alternate fuels along with environmentally friendly fuels and how we address that long term, because that's coming. I mean, we can't, as a population across the world, grow at the rates we're growing and not do something to continue to improve the emissions on existing aviation engines.
After gazing into his crystal ball, Pelton said he couldn't resist talking about Cessna's anniversary.
It's our 80th anniversary.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, not too many companies, especially in the manufacturing sector, have survived 80 years, but probably more important to us and what we're so proud about is not only are we, it's not a matter of survival, it's a matter of we're leading the industry, we're growing, we're prosperous, we're a great company with a long, long road ahead of us and no barriers in sight. We're celebrating internally. It's really time for our employees to take stock in being a part of Cessna and the Cessna history. We're going to have a large open house for our employees in June, of which we're going to try to fill up our flight ramps with all the historical Cessna airplanes that we can get into Wichita and just take stock and celebrate and at the same time look forward to the future and all the exciting new products that we're bringing to market.
And what about Cessna's next 80 years?
I think in the next 80 years, Cessna will be known internationally as it's known in Wichita, Kansas, and domestically in the U.S., and known internationally not, if you look at how a lot of people view the Cessna, it's the not only the company that taught the world to fly, but it's viewed as the small aircraft builder. I think we're going to get, the next 8 years, people are going to understand that we are the largest manufacturer of airplanes, period, in large volumes of a variety of performance capabilities. And I think it will start to resonate globally more so than what you've seen the last 80 years.
We've been listening to Jack Pelton on location in Lakeland, Florida. If you can't make it to Sun and Fun this year, let us be your eyes and ears as we publish a roundup of each day's activities supplemented with audio and video files to capture the full essence of a great event. Today's expanded audio coverage was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Learn more at Bose.com/headset and by Oregon Aero Upgrade Kits, available now from Oregon Aero. Look for another exciting audio report tomorrow, and for all the latest Sun and Fun and breaking general aviation news, log on to avweb.com. For the Avweb Audio News Team, this is Mike Blakeney reporting.